Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, we find that church leaders are to follow Christ's example and function as servants in the Christian community. Their general responsibilities will be found in verses 1 through 4 that we'll read shortly, as well in Ephesians 4:12, where it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Perfecting or equipping, so that we are spiritually prepared to meet the enemy. Lawrence O. Richards writes, quote, "Leaders are to prepare God's people for works of service as ministering members of the body. Leaders are to shepherd the local body of believers. Leaders are to be men equipped for these tasks, in part by gift, but essentially by character." And he concludes, "The shepherding ministry does not mean that leaders exercise control of believers' behavior. It does mean that they focus on nurturing and encouraging maturity so that each believer's acts of service will be an expression of love-motivated desire and the Holy Spirit enablement," unquote. Shepherding involves protecting and guiding, feeding, and generally watching out for the welfare for members of the church, though they may fight us all the way. It is still the job of the minister and the leaders of the church to look out for the welfare of the body of believers. We also find in chapter 5, verse 5, that believers are to be submissive and humble. Neither comes naturally. We are not to be arrogant in our relationships with each other, because according to Proverbs 3:34, God giveth grace to the humble, not to the arrogant. Again, chapter 5, verse 7, that we are not to be anxious, but we are to cast all our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. That he does care for us. Let me read you two verses from the book of Psalms. Psalm 145, verse 3a, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Isn't that amazing? And then Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Explanation point. There are not a lot of explanation points in the Bible, but after that verse, there is one, and we should take it seriously. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, there's this thought, "Not flight, but fight. Firm resistance is the way to deal with the devil's attacks. We are to resist in Christ's power, not our own." Shall we stand together? 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 1. And I would ask you right now, as we begin to read, that you would offer up a prayer of protection for your pastor. Because anytime you preach against our spiritual enemy, he's not happy. Verse 1, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now for protection this morning. Be with each one in this room, Lord. May our attention be on the Word of God. And Lord, we ask that you would bless us and protect us. And Lord, direct us in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue now at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Point number one, be watchful. Be watchful. In verse 7, it tells us that we are to cast all our cares upon him. And one of the reasons we have cares is because of our spiritual enemy, the deceiver of mankind. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, as the serpent, Satan, deceives, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and as the lion, the devil devours. The word Satan means adversary, and the word devil means the accuser, the slanderer. The recipients of the first epistle had already experienced the attacks of the slanderer. 1 Peter 4:4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same access of riot, speaking evil of you, unquote. He comes subtly, and yet he also comes as a roaring lion. Peter gave them several practical instructions to help them get victory over the adversary. I say point one is watchful, and some thoughts under it. Respect him. Respect him because he is dangerous. Through the years, I have had a number of men show me things about electricity. Some of you may remember Richard Ford. He said it to me, as did the father of Millie Smith. Now, if you remember Millie Smith, you've been with the church a long, long time, and you're showing your age. But both men said to me, you must respect electricity. Though we may tame it, if you allow it, it will bite you. It may be a simple tingle in your fingers and elbow, or it can turn your lights out permanently. So you must respect electricity, but you better respect Satan. You must understand who he is. You must understand that he realizes that his days are numbered, for he has read the scriptures, and he knows that in the end he loses. But he's going to take down as many as he can while he has opportunity. And our adversary is a dangerous enemy. He is called a serpent that can bite us as we when we least expect it. I was reading a Reader's Digest article. All of you know Lorraine Van Langenhoven. She was raised up during the Depression. And so she brings them to me, and so I'm reading a Reader's Digest article about a man in the state of Texas. And aren't you glad you don't live in Texas right now? And the article goes on to say that he heard his wife screaming in the backyard, and he went outside, and there was a Texas rattler that had her pinned against the wall. And he didn't know what to do, and so he picked up a shovel and cut off its head. Whew, glad that's over. No, it's not. About 30 minutes later, he walked over to pick up the head, and it bit him. Almost killed him. Yeah, that's Satan. You think you've killed him, and you haven't, because he's still alive and well on planet Earth, according to Hal Lindsey. You know that who he is? Wrote a book back in the 70s. Some of you weren't around back then. Okay, you're forgiven. But he is a trickster. He is a destroyer with the general meaning of ruin and destruction. His Old Testament name is Abaddon, and his New Testament is Apollyon. He is an accuser. At least we read the book of Job, we see that. He has great power and intelligence and a host of demons who assist in his attacks against God's people. Let me tell you this. Satan's desire is to destroy mankind. He's used communism. He's used the Nazis, he's used false religions, and he will even use capitalism to destroy people. Whatever it takes to get your eyes off God, he'll use it. He'll use education, he'll use entertainment, he'll use your health. He's coming against you, maybe even today, maybe even right now. See, his desire is to bring you down. And he knows when he brings down a Christian, we don't go alone. Someone's coming with us. How sad it is when it's when our children, our grandchildren. Folks, we need to pray God will protect us. Amen. And you must go to battle against the deceptions and temptations of the devil in prayer and in God's strength. We must never joke about him. We must never ignore him or underestimate his ability. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the author says concerning him, "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. O covering cherub, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." Let me say this to you. If the number one created being, Lucifer, who lived in the presence of God Almighty, could fall into temptation, do you think you can't fall? And he says, "Hey, I fell. I'm going to take you too." Don't give him the opportunity. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, warns us that we must be sober and on guard. Sober meaning serious. And control. Do you think when we get here at church and I preach that I'm just trying to entertain you? Because if you think I'm trying to entertain you, you better go someplace else. But the fact is, I'm trying to warn you, there is an enemy out there, a spiritual enemy, and he wants to turn our eyes away from the Lord. He wants us to ignore that which is good. The devil wishes to control us. In Luke 13:16, Jesus said, "And not this woman whom Satan hath bound Lo, these 18 years, he'll come after us. We are to respect him. We are to recognize him, for he is a great pretender. John 8:44 says that he is a liar and the father of it. 2 Corinthians 11, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. And it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." He is a subtle foe. Thus we must be vigilant and always on guard. According to the parable of the tares, whenever God plants a true Christian, Satan seeks to plant a counterfeit. And there are many counterfeit religions, and some of them go under the title of Christianity. If they teach false doctrines, it doesn't matter if they say that Christ died. We need to realize that he died for our sins and he is the only way into heaven. Amen. Warren Wiersbe again writes, "Our adversary would deceive us were it not for the word of God and the spirit of God. The better we know God's word, the keener our spiritual senses will be to detect Satan at work. We must be able to try the spirits and know the truth from the false." 1 John chapter 4, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 4. One of our ways of defending ourselves is with the word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't know the word of God, we have removed one of our number one defenses, correct? If we don't know the word of God, and how many people in our world today know the word of God? How many of them go to churches where they use half a verse and the rest of it is just talking about current events, or you do good and I'll do good and we'll all be good? And that's just a lie. It's a lie. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Whereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in this flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. They are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world hateth them. Ye are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We are to respect him. We are to recognize him. What do you think the next star is? We are to resist him. This means that we are to take our stand on the word of God and refuse to be moved. Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and those verses that are great and known to us, beginning at verse 10 down through verse 13. We are to stand. And it says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Maybe you've heard this said, unless we stand, we cannot withstand. So we need to be accounted for the Lord. Our weapons are the word of God and prayer. Our protection is the complete armor of God, which the Lord has provided. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? And he went out to battle in the name of David? In the name of Saul? In the name of Israel? No, in the Lord Jehovah. He went out to battle in the God of Israel. And we need to go to battle with the Lord at our side. Because Satan is a giant when it comes to his deceptions. A word of caution. Never discuss things with Satan. All we have to do is ask Eve. He's tricky. He's a liar. He is a deceiver. He will tell you what you want to hear and then laugh at you because you have listened to him. Never get the idea you're the only one going through the problems and battles that you are enduring because your brethren that are in the world are facing the same trials. We must remember to pray one for another and encourage each other in the Lord. Our personal victories will help others just as their victories will help us. Ponder this. Had Peter respected, recognized, and resisted the devil the night Jesus was arrested, he would have not gone to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would not have attacked Malchus with a sword, or he would not have denied the Lord in the courtyard. But Peter did not take the Lord's warning seriously. In fact, he argued with Jesus. Nor did he recognize Satan when the adversary inflated his ego with pride. Pride goeth before what? A fall. Don't ever, ever think you can stand in your own strength. Both Peter and James gave the same formula for success. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Now, before we get to the conclusion, I've mentioned this before. When Satan flees, he's gone, it'll never happen again. No, he'll be back. See, he knows your soft spots. How does he know your soft spots? He has seen us flinch. He knows what buttons to push. Could be guilt. Don't let Satan bring your past against you. Your sins are forgiven, and you are to go on afresh. He'll bring jealousy. That's a hard one, ladies and gentlemen. He'll bring bitterness, and they always lead to anger. And anger in our lives will destroy us. He'll bring bad attitudes. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you deal with a bad attitude, but I know one that does. I live with him daily, and it's a pain. You know, all of us have a soft spot, and Satan knows where it is. You can say, oh, he doesn't know where mine is, then you're deceiving yourself. Back to 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, for by grace are you saved. I tell you what, I'm glad for the grace of God. I don't deserve heaven. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. But God has forgiven me. And the fact of the matter is, all of us can accept Christ as our Savior and be forgiven. Amen. But the grace of God, who hath called us, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the thought doesn't end there. It continues. After that ye have suffered a while. You know, just living in our bodies is a form of suffering. How many of you are perfect? Now, some of you are near perfect, right? No? After we have suffered, God's not done with us yet. Notice what it says. After ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you, make you strong, make you firm, make you steadfast. Consistency, thou art a jewel, make you steadfast. One of the greatest verses in 1 Corinthians is chapter 15, verse 58. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Shall we stand together? Don't go from this building today challenging Satan to attack you. Don't go from this building saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm unmovable. Go out knowing that the Lord is able to protect. But we are to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to remember to pray for one another. We need to be willing to listen to the still small voice of God. We need to be willing to ask for his direction. In a moment, we'll sing a song of invitation. Lord, I'm coming home. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, Lord, give me strength. Maybe you're struggling right now with something in your heart. Maybe there's something you need to say, Lord, I want to give it over to you. I want to be victorious. Satan keeps bringing it up. Help me, Lord, to bury it. You can come and you can pray here by yourself, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you if you ask. You can come and sit on the front pew if you can't bow down here at the altar. You can just sit where you're at and just say, Lord, help me. Do you think it's a bad thing to tell the Lord you need help? Let me ask that question again. Do you think it's a bad thing to ask the Lord for help? We can all do it, right? Maybe this morning you need to ask. Maybe you need to ask him to say, Lord, give me strength. Help me to be a better mate. Help me to be a better child. Help me to be a better family member. Help me, Lord, to be a better worker. Help me to be a better church person. Whatever it may be, God wants to help us because he knows the burdens we're under. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand of blessing on these that are here. Help us, Lord, in our daily walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.